You like a free copy of God's Word, New Testament of the Bible, that is, offered to you quite freely and without any obligation to you. God's Word, His record, His testimony concerning His only begotten Son, sent into the world. Of course, in order to be a Savior, Emmanuel, God with us, come to rescue us from a great known danger, that of our sinful hearts and lives. And here is God's testimony, His record, and of course the insurance that everyone that is who repents of their sin and believes in God's only begotten Son, well, salvation is assured. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, and thy house is the promise, the command, and the promise assurance of God. So if you'd like a copy of God's Word, it's offered to you quite freely. You're simply and only for the taking. As I say, no cost and no obligation to you. If you'd like one, do feel free to come and ask for one. Word of God for you here in Cannock this afternoon. Ephesians, the New Testament, read for yourself and see. Chapter 2 and verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Salvation, don't you know, is a gift, a free gift, grace gift. It comes from the grace of God, gracious heart of God, and graciously, of course, declared amongst you here this afternoon in the town of Cannock. It's by grace that God, you see, out of grace that God has sent His Son Jesus Christ into the world to die, rise again from the dead, to be a Savior. And it's out of the heart of grace of God that, well, He raises up His servants in every day and generation and sends them wheresoever He will, even here to the town of Cannock this afternoon, that you might hear, that you might pay heed, that you might listen, that you might hear, no, not the voice of a preacher, but that you might hear God's voice in the proclamation, in the preaching of His Word. And that you might become a recipient, who knows, of the grace gift of God. The grace gift, that is, of salvation. Wages of sin is death, but the gift, the free gift, that is, of God, is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ, whom I declare amongst you here this afternoon once again. Yes, the gift of God by grace, you see. Grace, out of grace the gift comes, for by grace are you saved through faith, that is, those who believe, but only those who believe, not all men head for head, not everyone who hears the gospel believes is given faith to believe, but those who believe, whosoever believeth shall not perish in their sin, that is, but have everlasting life. Whosoever believeth shall not be ashamed, says the Word of God. But those, of course, who do not believe, who do not receive the gift of God, well, shame and disgrace will be theirs in the final analysis in that day when God judges all men. So the gospel, the good news, is presented amongst you here this afternoon that you might hear and live, that you might go to Christ and live, believe on Christ and live, that you might, as God commands you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might, as Christ Himself commands you, repent ye and believe the gospel. Why? For the kingdom of God is at hand, and you cannot enter that kingdom but by that kingdom of grace, that is, the grace and love, the free favor of God. You cannot enter that kingdom but that you repent, turn from your sin, that is, your wicked ways, your unrighteous thinking, and believe the gospel. Well, you cannot be saved. So it's by grace, through faith, and that not of yourselves, nothing of you, nothing that you can add to it, nothing that you can subscribe to it, nothing that you can, your good works, or your perceived good works, at least anyway. Some people don't, it's an amazing thing to me. I get talking to them, and they get telling me that they're good people. Can you believe that? That there's nothing wrong with them, But you know what God says? He says there's none good. He says there's none that doeth good. He says there's none righteous, not even one. He says that your good deeds, your best deeds, He says they're like filthy rags, In God's sight, that is. Or they might seem good. They might be perceived to be good, by your fellow men. They might pat you on the head and say, oh, what a good person you are. Don't you be listening to the preacher, man. You're okay. You're a good person, But God says otherwise. God says you're not good. God says salvation is not of yourselves. It's a free gift of God. Nothing that you yourself, in yourself, of yourself, or anything that you do can add to, contribute anything to God's salvation. It's all of grace, beginning to end, start to finish. By grace that a person is converted, brought to Jesus Christ, is by grace, the grace of God, you see, that a person believes, the gift of God, you see. And it's by grace, of course, that a person continues on in the Christian faith, finishes the course, as it were, crosses the line into eternal glory in heaven to be with God forever. Instead, that is, of being an object of God's wrath for all eternity. Don't you know the Bible says that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven, even now already, against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth. The truth that they know, the truth, that's obvious, the truth that's apparent to everybody, that is that God is, the being of God, and all his creative activity, what you see, you hold in unrighteousness, ungodliness, in wickedness. And the result of that, the consequence of that, is that the wrath of God is revealed against you because of that. And the only thing, of course, that will shift, the only thing that will change God's attitude of wrath towards you, well, is the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, sent into the world and set forth to be, well, the means by which the wrath of God can be removed from off of a person. By His coming, His living, His dying, His rising. And of course, His saving you. Salvation is what you need. And salvation comes to you through a person, not a religion. The person of Jesus, the Son of God. and of course comes to you as a result of what he has done. He has accomplished, not you yourselves. Only, thank you, madam. Only what Jesus has done. Because your works are no good. My works are no good. They contribute nothing to God's salvation. It's a free gift. It's His Son, Jesus, sent from heaven and came and died that death that you and I ought to die. It's due to you and I. Dying, that is, under the curse of God and under the wrath of God. That's your human right. You talk about human rights today, the only right you have is to God's wrath. You have no human rights. Nonsense. Utter nonsense, friend. No. The only right that we have is to the wrath of God because of our departure from God, because of our apostasy from God. But there is a way back to God from that dark path of sin. And Jesus says He is that way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. So it's Jesus that you need. Not Muhammad's religion. Not Buddha's religion. Not the Pope's religion. It's Jesus that you need. It's the Son of God, because there's salvation in another name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Only through Jesus. Only He can save you from the ravages of your sin, the consequences of your sin, the damnation that awaits sinners when they breathe their last and go out of this world, faced with God, with the judge who stands before the door even now. Oh, I bid you flee from the wrath to come, that you might be saved into the arms of Jesus, the Savior, the one whom the Bible says loved sinners and gave Himself for them. Would that you had come to Him and put your trust in Him. But maybe the question would be begging in your mind that I have here. Since we're made partakers of Christ and His benefits, by faith that is, and by faith alone, but where does the faith come from? You see, when a person believes in Jesus, well, all the benefits, you see, that Jesus purchased by His coming and dying on the cross, well, they come to the person who believes. What are the benefits? Well, peace with God. Peace with God and the peace of God that passes all understanding. The warfare with God. The enmity in your mind against God. You see, that's gone. That's gone. Now, a relationship of friendship has begun, you see. And as a result of having peace with God, you get the peace of God. That's one of the benefits, you see. Peace. Righteousness. The righteousness of God, because yours is no good. Yours is in tatters. Filthy rags. God won't touch. Look upon. No, you need another righteousness, an alien righteousness, one that does not belong to you, the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel. But you see, the person who believes, truly believes in Jesus, well, God declares them to be perfectly and everlastingly righteous. It's a benefit. Purchased, you don't get it from the state. You might get money from the state. You might get your rent paid by the state. But you don't get peace with God from the state. And you don't get righteousness. Only from Jesus, only from Christ who purchased these benefits Himself by His dying on the cross. Jesus, you see, He paid the price in full. Peace with God, righteousness, that will get you past on that day of judgment. That righteousness in which you must be found trusting in that day when God judges you. But you see, there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ, partakers of Christ, and enjoying all the benefits that He has purchased for men, sinners, on the cross. Peace with God, the righteousness of God, hope that never disappoints, joy, happiness, joy, 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 way down deep in your heart, a joy that no one, no man can take away from you, says Jesus, when He gives it to you. These are the benefits that come to a person who truly believes. Who believes, that is, with a true, living, active faith in the Son of God, in Jesus Christ, whom I declare to you here today. So the question is, from where does this faith come from? How does a person get to believe in Jesus? You can no more believe in Jesus yourself than you can pull yourself up by your bootlaces. It's impossible for you. No, you see, it's the gift of God. It comes through the grace of God, the gift of God, faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. That's who it comes from. It comes from the Holy Ghost. It comes from the third person of the Holy Trinity. It's He who works it in a man, a woman. They have, you see, to be born again, as Jesus says. You must be born again. Born again of the Spirit of God. It's He who works, you see, in a person's heart and mind, through the hearing of the gospel, the preaching of the gospel. He works in those whom God has chosen from before the foundation of the world to be in Christ, believe in Christ, trust in Christ, and be saved. It's the Holy Spirit of God, you see. He must work it in you. He must give you ears to hear. He must give you a heart to believe. He must give you a will to obey the gospel call. What is the gospel call? Repent ye and believe the gospel. Turn from your sin, from your wicked ways, from your unrighteous thinking, and turn to God through His Son, Jesus Christ, crying out to Him that He would have mercy, mercy upon your wicked, unrighteous, unbelieving souls. But God, you see, must work supernaturally, miraculously, circumcising your heart, and bringing you to that place of being, as the Bible terms it, a new creature, created anew in Christ Jesus, made altogether new. Behold, the new has come and the old has passed away. The old nature, the old life, gone, a new life in Jesus Christ. By the power of God and by the power of my gospel. Why, the Bible refers to it as being the power of God unto salvation. But it's God Himself who must do it. Oh, you can be religious. You can join any religious fraternity that you like. You can become a Muslim yourself. You can become a Buddhist yourself. You can become a JW yourself. But you cannot become a Christian yourself. You must be born again. You must be born from above. The Holy Ghost must work faith in you, gift to you the precious, oh, I tell you, the unspeakable gift of faith in the Son of God that makes you a partaker of God's Son and all the benefits that He purchased on the cross for those who believe in His name. But He works faith, you see, in the hearts of men and women through the preaching of the gospel, which is folly, I know, foolishness to the unbelieving, foolishness to those who are perishing, says God, in their sin, that is. They think it a load of nonsense, always have done, since sin came into the world. That's nothing new. That does not amaze me. That does not astonish me that you think it to be foolishness. Preaching the gospel to you on the street here in the town of Cannock. But to those who are believing, to those whom God the Holy Spirit works faith in their hearts, it's not foolishness to them. It's salvation to them. It's righteousness to them. It's peace with God to them. It's hope eternal to them. Life everlasting to those who believe, to those whom God, by His Spirit and by His miraculous supernatural power, brings a soul, a man, a woman to believe in Jesus. That's where it comes from, by the preaching of the gospel. Why I come to you time and again, why I stand before you with the Bible in my hands, urging you, imploring you to check it out for yourself and see, read the Word of God, the Bible. See, it's the only place you find God's Word. Find it anywhere else. You won't find it in the Quran. You won't find it in the Vatican. And you won't hear it from there either. It's in the Bible. The Word of God is found alone. So I bid you to check it out for yourself. Examine the Scriptures. They are they which testify of me, says Jesus. Thy word is truth, he says, concerning the Scriptures of God, the Bible. So I come to you with an open Bible so that you understand where I'm coming from. The Word of God, it's not my opinion. It's not my idea. It's not my plan, not my scheme. And neither do I wish you to become religious. Heaven forbid that you should become religious. No, it's Jesus that you need. It's the Son of God. It's He who died on the cross, the gospel. What is the gospel? That Christ died for the ungodly. That Christ died for sinners. After the third day, rose again from the grave. This is the gospel. And these are the things that you must believe in order to be saved. And it's through the preaching of the gospel that God the Holy Spirit brings men and women to believe with a living, a true, and an active faith. A faith that is, that lays hold upon Jesus, that brings salvation, that delivers even religious people from their religiosity, their legal, poisonous, deadly religion. It puts life into a man or woman. It puts the life of God into the soul and the love of God into the heart. It's what Jesus means by being born again. You must be born again. No other way by which a man, a woman can enter, perceive, understand, see the kingdom of God. And that faith, you see, the Bible says that God, by the means of the sacraments that He has appointed, baptism and the Lord's Supper, that God God ordained that faith, you see, should be strengthened, that faith should be confirmed. And that a person who truly believes in Jesus should affirm and confirm their faith by their partaking in those sacraments that God Himself has appointed to assure them, confirm them in their saving salvation faith. So you see, by grace, the Bible says, are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, and God gives it to whosoever He pleases. Doesn't give it to everybody, head for head. Not to everybody who goes to church. Not to everybody who says their prayers. Not to everybody who's of a religious bent. He gives it to whosoever He pleases. He gives it to those whom He has chosen from before the foundation of the world. Now, before you ask the question in your own mind, well, am I one of God's chosen, one of God's elect? That's not the question. The question is, will you repent? That's your question. Will you repent of your sin? Will you turn from your wicked ways? Will you turn from your unrighteous, ungodly, unholy, filthy, lustful thinking, mindset? And will you turn in faith to the Son of God and receive salvation? Receive Him is to receive salvation. To as many as receive Him, to them, to those who believe in His name, He gives the power, the right, the authority, that is, to become children of God, children of the living God. So you see, friends, the Bible makes it clear that salvation is of God, from start to finish, beginning to end. Nothing contributed by you or anybody else, not your saying, not your mental assent to Jesus, not your lip service to God or the things of God. No, it is God alone who must come, you see, and rend your heart, break your heart to begin with, give you a contrite heart, give you a heart that weeps, that mourns, that laments for your sins, for your departure from God, from your unholy living, from all that the Bible calls sin. What is sin? Transgression of the law. What is sin? Much, much deeper than that. It's your very natures. You were conceived in sin, don't you know? You ever wondered, ever pondered the question in your mind? Why is it that the human race doesn't function the way that it ought to do? Why is it you cannot keep up your own standards, let alone God's? Why is it that men and women go about murdering, killing, and violating one another? Why is it that you don't function the way that you ought to do, and the way that sometimes you even desire to do? Well, it goes back, you see, right to the beginning, to the first man, the head of the race. Adam, his name was. He sinned. He entered into a contract with sin. And that contract is binding upon the entire human race. You're in a contract with sin. You can't help yourself. You're conceived in sin in your mother's womb. And 9 months later, you're born in sin, and you live in it, delight in it, swim in it, wallow in it. You love your sin, hate God, and hate your neighbor, and go about the world destroying your neighbor. Why? Because it's your very nature. It's your nature to sin. You cannot help yourself. A dog barks, a lion roars, a pig grunts. Why? Because that's their natures. Man sins. Why? Because that's your nature. It's your nature, it's your natural condition to sin. You can do no other but sin against God and against your neighbor. And my dear friends, when you realize, when you begin to see the problem of the human race, the problem of your own society cannot be solved politically, cannot be solved militarily, it cannot be saved by man's ideas, philosophies, because the problem is a spiritual and a moral one. So the answer must be spiritual. The gospel, God's remedy for sin. God sending his Son into the world, that through him, that you might be saved, that sinners might be rectified, that is, given a new heart, given a new will, new desires, new affections, to love God, to love their neighbor, fulfilling the royal law of God. To love God and to love your neighbor, says Jesus, that's the sum of God's law. Why is it that you do not love your neighbor? Why is it you seek your neighbor's destruction by means of abortion? 12 million infant children up to date slaughtered on the altar of your sexual pleasure. That's your hatred for your neighbor. That's what you think of your neighbor. You talk about love. You say, let's all just love one another. But why don't you love the unborn child? Huh? Why do you go about day after day slaughtering them, killing them, ripping them from their mother's wombs and slaughtering them? Why is it that you are so incontinent? You know what incontinent means? Something that should be kept in, but you cannot keep it in. Your sin, you gotta speak it, haven't you? You gotta say something. You gotta blaspheme God's name when you hear the preacher. Huh? You can't keep it in. You've got to express your ungodliness. You've got to express your wickedness. Your incontinence, says God. You can't keep it in. That's what sin is. That's what sin is. It's your very nature. Your nature's poison. Your nature has deviated from the path of God. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, wandered your own pathway, the one that leads to destruction, the one that leads to eternal, everlasting damnation. But there's a way back. There's a way back. There's a way by which the nature of a man can be changed. A way by which that nature can be altered. But that takes more power than you've got. That takes more power than religion's got. That takes more power than Mr. Johnson's got. That takes more power than the United Nations has got. That takes the power of God unto salvation. The gospel, the good news. The glad tidings that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, and that to die the death of the cross, that to pay the price, that to shed his blood in order that you might be washed and made clean, in order that your filthiness might be washed away. What will wash away my stain, the hymn writer asks? Who will wash away the stain of your sin? Who will wash away the guilt of your conscience? Who will wash away the deep dyed sins of the past, of your past life. Nothing, nothing, he answered. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Believing God's testimony, believing God's Son Jesus Christ, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, who came and loved enough to die, who came, lived and loved and died on that cross, shed, spilled his precious blood in order that you might be washed and made clean. Made fit for purpose, made fit for living, and made fit for dying, and made fit for eternity, glory with God in heaven. As opposed, that is, to remain a child of wrath, because that's what you are by nature. That's what sin is. Conceived in sin, born in sin, and therefore a child of wrath. Under the wrath of God now and for all eternity, if you do not get saved, if you're not reborn, if God the Holy Spirit, in conjunction with the preaching of the gospel, does not give you faith, does not give you the gift of faith, the free gift of grace, soul of grace. So what must need you do? Well, cry to the concern to you. Cry out to him, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Seek ye the Lord, while he may be found, call you upon him, while he is near. Repentance is to be sought for. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, for he will show mercy, abundantly pardon, the prophet says. Oh, the good news of the gospel, a Savior sent into the world to save, to rescue, to bring you out of the darkness, to bring you out of that filthy nature in which you were conceived and born, to change you, transform you, make you a child of God, change you, make you a new creature in Jesus Christ, and the recipient of all the benefits. All the benefits that come to a man, to a woman, united to Christ by faith. Hope, hope, hope beyond December the 25th. Hope beyond January the 1st. Hope beyond this life. Hope beyond the grave. A hope that does not, cannot disappoint. Righteousness, a perfect righteousness. God looking upon you just as if you had never sinned, justified, made right with God for time and for eternity. Hope, righteousness, joy, peace with God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding. God, by his grace, I pray, work such faith in you that it might be given to you, that you might not just hear, but that you might inquire into these things, that you might seek into these things, that you might search the scriptures as Jesus bid you to. Search the scriptures, he says. They are they that testify of me. This is where you find him. Here in God's word in the Bible. Search them until you find him. Until you know him. Until you know God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. Eternal life, that is. Until you know that you've been born again. Until you know that you've been pardoned. Until you know that you've been forgiven, until you know that you're ready for that day when you will breathe your last and stand before the judgment throne of God. It is appointed unto man once to die. After that, the judgment. Then you stand before the judge. Are you ready? Are you ready? Should he open the door today? Should he open the door tonight? Doubtless you're all preparing for a week today, December the 25th. Who knows, but maybe you won't see it, sir. Won't be rubbish to you then, young man, will it? When you cock your toes up, young man, and go out to this world and stand before the judge, God of mercy on you. God of mercy on you. That door opens tonight and the judge summons you into his presence. Won't be nonsense then. Won't be a sneering matter then. When he bids you, when he says to you, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity, and banishes you into the damnation of hell. Won't be nonsense then. Won't be foolishness then. But it'll be too late then. Because now is the accepted time, says God. Now, this is the day, a day given to you, when the gospel once again is proclaimed amongst you, that you might not just hear, but that you might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And thy hopes, oh, only believe, says Jesus. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Cry out to him. Help thou mine unbelief. Cry out to him. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And who knows? Who knows? Maybe, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Get your priorities right. Today, it's all the stuff, all the material things. You can't fill your houses with enough. Your wardrobes with enough. Huh? Money, money, money. Houses, houses. Stuff, material things. Buying and selling. Buying and selling. Filling up the coffers. Silver and gold. Huh? And it'll perish with you. It'll perish with you. You won't take the phone with you. You won't take the laptop with you. You won't take your money with you. You won't take nothing with you. As you came into the world, so you'll go out naked and feet first. So get ready for the judgment day. It's coming soon and sooner than most of you imagine. So today I call upon you, or rather God does, commands you, repent, because he now commands all men everywhere to repent. Except you repent, says the Savior, ye shall all likewise perish in your sin, that is, in your disgraceful, abominable, present, natural state and condition. You must be born again. Repent ye and believe the gospel, he says, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel, Canuck. Repent ye and believe the gospel. You'd like a copy of God's word? Check these things out for yourself. See that they are so according to God's word. You'd like a copy of the New Testament? You come and ask for one. No cost, no obligation to you.